Injun Joe was buried near the mouth of the cave, and people flocked there in boats and wagons from the town and from all the farms and hamlets for 7 miles around. They brought their children and all sorts of provisions and confessed that they had had almost as satisfactory a time at the funeral as they could have had at the hanging. This funeral stopped the further growth of one thing, the petition to the governor for Injun Joe's pardon. The petition had been largely signed, many tearful and eloquent meetings had been held, and a committee of sappy women appointed to go in deep mourning and wail around the governor and implore him to be a merciful ass and trample his duty underfoot. Injun Joe was believed to have killed 5 citizens of the village, but what of that? If he had been Satan himself, there would have been plenty of weaklings ready to scribble their names to a pardon petition and drip a tear on it from their permanently impaired and leaky waterworks. The morning after the funeral, Tom took Huck to a private place to have an important talk. Huck had learned all about Tom's adventure from the Welshman and the Widow Douglas by this time, but Tom said he reckoned there was one thing they had not told him. That thing was what he wanted to talk about now. Huck's face saddened. He said,
"I know what it is. You got into number 2 and never found anything but whiskey. Nobody told me it was you, but I just knowed it must have been you, soon as I heard about that whiskey business. And I knowed you hadn't got the money, because you'd have got at me some way or other and told me, even if you was mum to everybody else. Tom, something's always told me we'd never get hold of that swag."
"Why, Huck, I never told on that tavern keeper. You know his tavern was all right the Saturday I went to the picnic. Don't you remember you was to watch there that night?"
"Oh, yes. Why, it seems about a year ago. It was that very night that I followed Injun Joe to the Widder's."
"You followed him?"
"Yes. But you keep mum. I reckon Injun Joe's left friends behind him. I don't want him souring on me and doing me mean tricks. If it hadn't been for me, he'd be down in Texas now, all right."
Then Huck told his entire adventure in confidence to Tom, who had only heard of the Welshman's part of it before.
"Well,"
said Huck presently, coming back to the main question,
"whoever nipped the whiskey in number 2 nipped the money too, I reckon. Anyways, it's a goner for us, Tom."
"Huck, that money was never in number 2.
"What?"
Huck searched his comrade's face keenly.
"Tom, have you got on the track of that money again?"
"Huck, it's in the cave." Huck's eyes blazed.
"Say it again, Tom."
"The money's in the cave."
"Tom, honest Injun now, is it fun or earnest?"
"Earnest, Huck, just as earnest as ever I was in my life. Will you go in there with me and help get it out?"
"I bet I will. I will if it's where we can blaze our way to it and not get lost."
"Huck, we can do that without the least little bit of trouble in the world."
"Good as wheat. What makes you think the money's..."
"Huck, you just wait till we get in there. If we don't find it, I agree to give you my drum and everything I've got in the world. I will, by jigs."
"All right, it's a whiz. When do you say?"
"Right now, if you say it. Are you strong enough?"
"Is it far in the cave? I've been on my pins a little, 3 or 4 days now, but I can't walk more than a mile, Tom. At least I don't think I could."
"It's about 5 miles into there, the way anybody but me would go, Huck. But there's a mighty shortcut that they don't anybody but me know about. Huck, I'll take you right to it in a skiff. I'll float the skiff down there. I'll pull it back again all by myself. You needn't ever turn your hand over."
"Let's start right off, Tom."
"All right. We want some bread and meat and our pipes and a little bag or two and 2 or 3 kite strings and some of those newfangled things they call Lucifer matches. I tell you, many's the time I wished I had some when I was in there before."